Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, banshee flying, space mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what is the point of galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds, for whatever you love. Infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
Hey guys, before we start, a quick shout out to Alpha Dog Nutrition for sponsoring this podcast. Alpha Dog products are now available at dusupply.com, and you can use code ALPHADOG15 at checkout for 15% off and a credit for free shipping to try it yourself. Now let's get you to your podcast.
Welcome to my podcast, where we are going to talk about a lifestyle with dogs and threw in a few life lessons along the way. Whether you're a hound hunter, bird dog enthusiast, running setters, pointers, retrievers, or a flat-out running dog junkie, this podcast is for you. I am your host, Heath Hyatt, a certified law enforcement canine trainer with over 3 decades of personal and professional training and handling experience. It's time for me to pay it forward, so grab your leads, lace up those boots, and come and join me on this lifelong process of teaching, training, and learning. Are you looking to unlock your dog's full potential and give them the best nutrition possible for peak performance? Then look no further. A Nookshook has what you're looking for. A Nookshook's nutrient-dense formulas are crafted to keep your dog's energy high and performance top-notch. Packed with premium proteins and essential fats, a Nookshook delivers the balanced nutrition your dog needs to thrive. From hunting dogs to police canines, a Nookshook is trusted by professionals. Give your dog the power of peak performance with a Nookshook professional dog food. Hope we're coming in loud and clear. Welcome back, y'all. Hope everybody had a great Memorial Day weekend. I'm going to tell you that this week has been filled with exciting news for me. Of course, Monday, Tuesday, normal. Wednesday, man, we've been super busy at work, doing some onboarding with some new hires. But Thursday, I was going through my email, my personal email, not my work email, and got an update from the Wyoming Department of Fish and Game that said the drawings had come out. And you guys know that I had put in for my Wyoming elk tag. So I go into my account, pull it up, and bam, I got drawn for the fall season. And I could not be more excited. Like, this is a bucket list thing for me. That and a moose. So if I can knock this one off, I'm going to put in for my moose tag. I did put in my moose tag 2 years in Maine, but I didn't get drawn. So I'm going to try hard for that. But yeah, I mean, how lucky can you be? This is the first year that I've actually put in for my Wyoming. I put in for Montana a couple times. Never got drawn. Bought bonus points. Just didn't happen. So Rick talked me into putting in for the draw in Wyoming, and I did, and I got drawn, and I have been on cloud nine since. I'll just tell you that. Like, I cannot wait to get out there and actually, you know, just take it all in. Like, take it all in. Now, I've hunted out west before. I've hunted mountain lion out there twice, but I've not hunted anything else. Of course, we've been out west a bunch of times. Yellowstone probably, like, pushed me over the top. We was out there a couple years ago. Man, just seeing all the species of wildlife. I mean, we seen everything but a wolf. We did miss the wolf. But everything else we saw while we were in the park, multiple days. And then we hiked the Grand Teton. So, yeah, I am stoked, to say the least. So that was Thursday morning. So I had put on a class Thursday, got home Thursday evening, and I get a call from UKC. Uh-oh, what's going on here? And I was asked, invited, however you want to say it, to judge the show at Autumn Oaks on Thursday. So after going back and forth and kind of getting those details hashed out, I'm going to be out at Autumn Oaks I'm going to come out Wednesday evening. I'll be there Thursday and a little while Friday morning. And then I got to head back because bear season's in here, and I got to get those dogs. I got to get those dogs all the running they can get. And that's something else. The elk hunt is probably going to cut me out of the last week of chase season here. So I'm going to have to make up from that somehow, some way, and I'm sure I'll work it out. But yeah, so man, like, that was just Thursday. That was Thursday. I went to a fishing tournament Thursday night. We fished these river tournaments, and man, had a really, really good evening. Caught a pile of bass. Had a really good number. Like, you take the three fish length, and had a really, really good. We had a good number. Normally, our number would have got us in the top two, maybe even at some points in times would have got us the win. And man, we slid right back into fourth. Everybody else smashed it. So that was that. It's always good to be on the water, and man, it's just, you know, it's what I love to do. And then Saturday, I spent, when I say I was from daylight till dark fishing, I spent a good 12 hours. Come in and eat lunch, took about an hour and a half downtime, and had to come back in. You know, we camp on the weekend back over at home with a bunch of our buddies. Most of them are our bear hunting group. We all camp on Memorial Day weekend, and we camp on 4th of July weekend. So that's a good time. We all bring our families and the kids, and man, it's just I mean, it's just, I love it. So fished all day Saturday, probably put close to 90 fish in the boat, bass, but we caught every species. So we, you know, I fished a New River, which is one of the best fisheries in the East. And of course I started out musky fishing that morning. The wind was really, really, really bad blowing. I mean, it was pushing my boat back up river. I had to turn the boat nose into the wind and put the trolling motor on slow just to kind of keep us pointed in the right direction and keep us moving down. So I musky fished for the first hour, maybe two. And my buddy, old Gump, Dink Nelson, that's what we call him, old Dink. He was bass fishing. So wasn't having any luck with the musky, so I switched over and started bass fishing, started catching some bass. And man, we literally caught fish from that point till dark. And the only reason we stopped fishing, because I didn't have lights and stuff to fish at night, but we boated bass, red eye, perch. Hadn't caught a perch in a long time. Like, that was kind of a good thing to see those, because I haven't seen them. Catfish, caught catfish off the old Ned rig, off old yoga pants, if y'all know what that is. Caught a cat off of that. And then after supper yesterday, we went back up river. I started throwing for musky again. And Nelson was fishing right off the bank. Fish were pushed up tight on the bank yesterday. The water was up. The flow was, you know, quite a bit stronger. It had a really green, you couldn't see in the water maybe a foot if you're lucky. It had a really greenish brown tint to it where the water had been high, and it was flowing high. Anyway, Nelson ends up catching a baby muskie off a Ned rig. So that was his first fish. So we literally landed everything except a carp. And yeah, except a carp. A carp's the only thing we didn't land yesterday that's in the New River where I fish. Now, you can go up towards the dam, the Clater Lake Dam, and you catch some walleyes and striper. But down towards the West Virginia line where we were at, like, that's what we caught everything. We caught everything that could be caught. And like I said, we was right at 90 fish yesterday. So, man, it was a great day. Great day to be on the water. Great day to be with your family and friends and eating food that we cooked over the, well, they deep fried some chicken legs yesterday. And the night before we had pulled pork. So, yeah, it was great. It was a great weekend. And then this week we got to get back and get back to it. So that was that. All right, I want to follow up real quick on getting back from North Carolina hunting, because that's what we're going to talk about today. And I kind of went over my equipment that I take with me when I pack. So that's that. That's kind of the rundown of it. I'm sure if I go on longer trips, it would change a little bit. But so one of the things that I've noticed when I get back from being down east, I worm my dogs. In fact, any trip that I go on, like when I went to Canada last year, I come back, you know, I worm the dogs. Being down in that old nasty swamp water, I come back and I worm my dogs. So that's something that you probably ought to get in the habit of if you do some traveling. Of course, making sure your vaccinations are up to date, rabies especially. But I come back and worm the dogs out, make sure they're clean. Like I said, you don't know what they're getting into. Like I said, they was in water probably 70% of the time, 65-70% of the time. In fact, on day two, we'll talk about that. You know, they had to cross water to get to where they needed to go. So just something to think about. I want to make sure that I got that in there and everybody knew that when you go on a trip, you're in a different place, different environment, definitely different germ pool. you're in a different area, and the stuff at your house is probably going to be pretty sterile, or, you know, your dogs are, they've kind of been immune to whatever's going on around your environment. So, worm them out. And something else too, I was thinking about this because I've got some friends that are hunting dogs for other people right now. You know, make sure that you, if you send your dog off to be hunted, make sure when you get it back that you worm it out too. I've had to, back years ago, I used to do that. And that's one of the things that I noticed, that I'd get the dog back and the stool would maybe be a little soft or wouldn't be like it should be. So, you know, make sure that you're doing that too. So, hey, put him up. His fingernails are clicking all over the floor. All right, let's get into the hunt. All right, so drove down Tuesday night after I got off work. So you guys know that, like, I like to be in bed by 9:30, 10 o'clock. Get past 10 o'clock for me, like, it's late. But drove down after work, got down, tied the dogs out, let them stretch, watered them, make sure they had plenty of water. And I did give them a little bit of food. I didn't feed them a whole meal because I didn't want to put them back in the box. I like to keep my dogs up at night. Baby had some extra pens, so the next two nights, I put the dogs out in the pens during the day after we got done hunting, but I'd come back at dark or after we got done eating supper or whatever we were doing, and then I put them back in the box, and I keep them with me throughout the night. That's just how I prefer to do things. I can keep them quiet. I don't have to worry about them getting out or running off or something happening, whatever. So it's just it's just a way to control the environment. So I didn't feed them a whole lot. I give them, you know, like a handful. And then the next morning, you know, give them plenty of opportunity to clean out and do what they got to do. So BB and I went, and I know somebody else was hunting, but I just don't know who, when, and where or what. But anyway, BB and I went to the one place that we've been several times, and I think BB realized I had a bunch of young dogs. I didn't take anything. So Sass was the oldest dog that I took. Sass is just turned 2 years old. Lady is the next oldest dog. And she, literally she just turned two. Now, but Lady, I didn't start her until Canada last year. So she has look at her training seasons and what little bit I got to travel last year. She, you know, she's got a couple months of hunting in her. But she come in heat in December last year. So that hurt. I mean, that knocked her out of 21 days right in the middle of season. And then by the end of season, when she come out, you know, it wasn't very productive. So she's got a little experience under her belt, but not tremendous. So even though they're 2 year old dogs, Sassy was the most experienced by far. And Lady was the next. And then everything else was under two that I took. So I think BB was like, I don't know about all this circus. Like, maybe I'll go on and do my own thing. But we laughed about it later. He's like, yeah, I was going to let you just go home and see what you had. So anyway, I went and checked an area. And I will post a video today that this drops today, and y'all can kind of watch. But so I'm going down this road, I'm rigging my dogs, I'm going down this road, and I get to the end of the road where the cul-de-sac is, and there's I don't know what you call it, there's a piece of tractor equipment sitting at the end of it, and as I pull up, there is a possum sitting right there. Well, the dogs start whimpering. Okay. They're not full out blowing up. They're whimpering. And I'm like, well, they're seeing it. Ooh, okay. So I'll go ahead and I just turn around. I take my time and I back up and pull around and I turn around. Well, the possum runs from that piece of equipment over to the moat, over to the water, to the drain ditch. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to turn Sass loose. And if she takes off after it, then I'll just get her back. No big deal. So the possum had enough time to kind of get gone because I wasn't in a hurry. I was like, oh, this is going to be a cluster. So I got three dogs on a truck. I got Lady, Rena, and Sass. Rena's a new dog. And I turn a sash loose, and I'm telling you, man, her back feet hit the tailgate, and it was like she was shot out of a rocket. Gone. Like left-handed. An opossum went right-handed. She goes left-handed. She gets down into the high vegetation, because we're at the end of a timber cut, okay? And she's just squalling. But she gone. And I'm like, oh, crap. So I run around the truck. I get Lady. I dump her. She gets down and gets about halfway to Sass, and she starts opening. So I get the other dog out. I turn it loose, and it goes out of there screaming, too. Now, this is the first time I've had her loose, too. Like, I know nothing about this dog. Nothing. I took a man's word for it, and I know nothing about her. So by then, she's leaving out of there screaming. So I go ahead and start feeding dogs in. And, you know, if you've heard me talk before, I don't like to just dump the box, per se. I like to get them lined out. So I let the dogs on the driver's side out. I don't remember who that was. And got them fed in. And then I let the dogs on the passenger side out, and they were the last dogs. So, boom, they're gone. Everybody's gone except one of the young dogs, one of the pup. And I call him a pup. He's 10 months old. He kind of hung around with me. Well, they go screaming up between the hard timber and the timber cut. And I get on the radio, and me and BB's talking. So, anyway, I get in the truck because I'm thinking I'm going to have to drive around. BB's telling me I may need to go to the hard top. So, I'm like, okay. So, I get in the truck, and I start out there. And I'm using my new Alpha XL, and the dogs they're stopped. And I don't know why there's such a lag and stuff like, you know, like when those dogs are running like that and all of a sudden they're stopped and they're stopped and they're stopped and they're stopped. And then boom, you'll either get the point on point or treat. I think I've cut my on point off. Like I think I did. But anyway, they started popping up trees. So I get out. I stop the truck, get out, and listen. They're 850, 900 yards from me. And, I mean, I can hear them. And they're definitely, you know, they definitely sound treed. So, anyway, I get the directions the way I need to go. So I go around. I get within 400 yards of them. And I could have went in where I was at, probably would have been just as easy. But I'm within 400 yards of them. So I get out, and I let the pup out that was hanging out with me, and I start in. And the dogs are treeing really, really good. I mean, let me just put this out there. The bunch of dogs that I'm hunting are not your overpowering tree dogs, the ones that I have. I mean, if Sassy has one fault, it is that when the vegetation and stuff is on, you know, she's not a hard tree dog. Now, Lady, on the other hand, she is probably the best of the bunch that I had. I had eight dogs with me. I had Sassy and Lady, I had Briggs and Bishop. That's the B litter. I had Rena. And I took Ruger for Forrest. And then I had the two pups. So both pups are, 10 and 11 months old. I'll call them pups until they're probably a year and a half, kind of. It's just a habit. So I get going, and I can hear them treed. And the closer I get, it's less treeing. It's just a bark here and a bark there. And I'm like, oh, Lord. Now, I got to go back. 69 degrees that morning, 100% humidity. And it was like that pretty much every day. The humidity was horrible. And it was supposed to be in the low 80s that morning. So 69 degrees, 100% humidity. My dogs are out of shape. Like, they haven't been out. This is their first run. And, like, so anyway, their treeing's really slacked off a little bit. And I was like, oh, okay, well, this ain't good. But when I got in there, I had to bust off the path and go in about 40 yards to the tree. And it was kind of thick. Well, I get in there and I fall over a log. Clumsy me. Well, all the dogs come to me and like, oh, Dad, you all right? I'm like, yeah, guys, I'm good. And you can even hear me on the video. I'm like, hey, boys, what y'all doing? And then they go back and do the thing. I don't particularly like the dogs coming off the tree like that. I don't. And at one point in time, I would have really concentrated on not doing that. But I don't. it doesn't bother me like it used to. As long as I got one that stays put up, and I'm pretty sure that Briggs stayed and laid. I don't know. It's so thick in there, I can't tell you who did what. And I can see a couple of the dogs' backs when they come to me in the video. But so we get in there, and they've got a bear treat. He, she, whatever it is out on a limb. I tried to get some pictures and video of it, but it was so thick, it was really hard to do. I mean, it was really hard to do. So anyway, I take some videos. I get the dogs pulled back to the path. Kind of give a little recap there, what's going on. And back to the truck we go. So I was really pleased with that, even though it was an extremely short race and extremely easy. But first time out, taking the young dogs, and I evaluate the pack there. I left the 3-year-olds and the 4-year-olds at home, and of course Spook and Kate are 6. So I don't hunt them a whole lot until up into September, and I'll start getting them out and getting them in a little shape. But I really want to concentrate on this next bunch coming up, and I've got to get some experience, and I've got to give them the opportunities, right? So anyway, that was that. Treat a bear, I'm pleased with it. I feel very confident that Sass, Lady, and Briggs, that's the three that, are coming on really good. I may not be able to catch every bear with them, but if I can get them in a bear track and get them lined out right, I feel pretty confident that, those three will do what they're supposed to do more consistently than not. So anyway, BB ends up finding a track. He really worked for that track. Like, man, his dogs were out, and I went around and tried to, get some in with one of them, and I don't know what happened, but he turned and was roading them back down the other way. And anyway, he ended up getting after track. He had Sassy with him at that point because I had put her out to go with some of his dogs, and they come out in the roadway. He picked them up. So he put his in and Sass, and they ended up getting on a little bit of better race. They got on a pretty good race, and they end up training. And we go into it, and we follow a four-wheeler path in within 100 yards of the tree. And that next 100 yards, and if you guys looked at my reels, like, BB was 10 foot from me, and I couldn't even see him. Like, I couldn't see him. It was so thick in there. I got wrapped up in the briars and the green briars, and I'm telling you, man, it looked like I'd been in a fight with a razor blade on my arms. People think I'd be a cutter at that point, but that bear was a little smaller, probably 80 pounds, and got it treed. Finally, I mean, it took us a little bit of time to get the dogs out of that mess because, trying to pull them back, lead them. Once we got away from the tree, we can turn them loose, but that was a mess. But Baby's dog did a really good job there and worked on that one. So that was the first day, good day. The second day, we are just checking roads out, and Baby found a pretty nice track in an intersection. So we go up and we put the dogs down, and he's hunting some young dogs too. They make a couple circles in there, and we could see the bear had crossed the road, slid down into one of those whatever you call them. It looks like a moat to me. That's what it reminds me of. But a drainage ditch, and it crossed the ditch, and you could see where it come up out of the water and had laid the grass and stuff over on the other side. So trying to get the dogs, the young dogs had never experienced that. But anyway, Sassy went on, and one of his dogs went on, maybe two of his dogs went on. And then once they got over an opening, I had everything win except the two pups. And Bishop did not like that water. She did not want to get in it. Pretty discouraging, but they got in there and they ended up making a loop into that block, and they ended up treeing. We get into the tree, and it is definitely not the bear we turned on. The bear we turned on was a really good sized track, which doesn't mean everything, but like, it was a lot bigger than what we treed. We probably treed another, I don't know, maybe an 100 pound bear, and treated in a big pine tree. So we fooled around with that for a while. It's getting warm, getting really warm. So we called that a day. Man, oh, and then on the last day, we decided to take advantage of one of Doug's setups. So we took the young dogs, the pups, and two young dogs down and put them in a fox pen just to see what they was going to do. And the two pups did not do what I would prefer them to do. The older pup actually did go with the dogs a couple times, but didn't stay in it. Definitely wasn't trying to run to catch it. And if he seen you in a path or in a roadway, like he'd drop off, come to you. And if the dogs come back by, he'd fall back in and go with them and kind of do the same thing. And then the other pup, he didn't want any part of it. But, you know, that's a part of hunting young dogs. You know, everybody matures differently. Everybody comes around at different ages. Both of the young dogs I have seen signs. Let me put it that way. I have seen signs of potential. And like I said, I've worked both of those pups on a couple coons. When I say a couple, I mean two coons. Their actions are really good. They've done exactly what I would expect or would want my dogs to do on a coon. And, you know, it is what it is. We're going to spend some more time with them. I definitely want them, you know, to definitely show me a little more. To say I was disappointed was probably, yeah, I was disappointed. But at the same time, I understand the progression level. And not all dogs, you know, just come out of the gate running. Like, they don't. And when you have those dogs, you need to be very fortunate that genetic makeup is kind of is firing on those cylinders that you want them to fire on. So, going to put some more work into them. You know, I'm going to give them plenty of opportunities because it's not fair to the dog if I don't do my due diligence and put the time and the effort to give them the opportunities to succeed. Right? We've done all the foundation work. We've done the loading and the leading and that was a pretty long haul for both of those dogs. If you heard me a couple weeks ago, we talked about going and getting shots for everybody. Well, but yeah, both of those dogs, that was their first time of really being hauled. And it was only like 20 minutes down the road, 20 minutes back. Had to sit in the truck for an hour. So we spent 2 hours in the truck, you know, throwing them in the truck and driving down east. That's, you know, 5.5 hours. And then they stayed in the truck all night and then, you know, hauled them, you know, 45 minutes the next morning. So, you know, so it's a change, right? And I understand that, you know, not all dogs can just come out of the gate there, you know, wide open. Yes, that's what I would prefer. That's what I want. And that's honestly what I expect. But I also realize that, you know, this is a big change in environment. You know, we haven't got to haul the dogs. We haven't got to do a few other things with them. So I'm going to do my due diligence and make sure that I'm giving them every opportunity. Now, and if they don't, they don't. They don't work out, right? All dogs don't work out. If they did, we'd only need 5 or 6 dogs and we'd be good to go. But that's just not how it works. But I really like them and I'm really hopeful that they both succeed because I want them to succeed. I don't want them to fail. I want them to succeed, and I'm going to give them every opportunity to do that. So just kind of evaluating what's going on. Took the two-year-olds and everything else was under down to 10 months old was the youngest. And, you know, I always enjoy going down there. And honestly, I will say that, you know, from the first time that I went down and hunted with BB and Doug, that, you know, my dogs, it was a little bit of different environment. I felt like my dog struggled a little bit. And I can see now, I mean, this was my third year, maybe four. And I didn't take any of the dogs that I started going with, but I can see a difference in the dogs. Like they're not, it's, they've adapted. They've adapted to a different environment and they're moving on. So really pleased with that. And so BB and, you know, BB and I sit around, man, he's got the best. I mean, I'm envious because his setup, his kennel setup is phenomenal. He just finished his feed room, which he's got cabinets and countertops. You know, he's got an ice maker. We was filling up our coolers with the ice makers and a place where he can just slide his pallets of dog food in. It's really, really nice setup. But we were sitting around there, you know, we always talk and, you know, what if this, what if that, what about this, what about that? You know, it's always good just to kind of like bounce things off the wall and kind of maybe even get a direction. But on the way home, I got to thinking about, you know, what is my next breeding? You know, what is my next breeding going to be? You know, I've got one, two, three. I've got three gyps. Now I'm excluding Sassy and Lady because they're just two. I'm not in a big hurry, but you know, I've got a 4-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 3-year-old. I've got dogs that I want to breed. I'm trying to make that decision which direction I'm going. How am I going to breed these dogs? How, you know, am I going to go back into the same lineage? Am I going to do an outcross? What traits am I looking for? You know, what holes do these dogs have? Because all dogs have holes. I want to try to complement that hole if you know, whatever it may be. So on the way home, I really got to thinking about that and which way I'm going to go, which direction. And, you know, I don't know that it'll be this year. Yeah, I mean, it'll probably be this fall before I actually, you know, make a decision. Because will they be in heat? Yeah, both of them will be in heat in the fall. So, which will put me out of hunting season. They'll miss either training season or kill season, whichever one. So I'm going to end up missing a season with that. But yeah, just trying to make a decision on what I'm going to breed and which direction I'm going to go, and looking forward to that. And I've got to get my puppy lot done. You know, I kind of want to do the thing that you know, you see the lots on the side of the road that have the building in the back where you can go in and the dogs can run inside and the runs are on the outside. They got a roof over. I'm going to build something similar to that out here where I keep the pups now. I put a tarp over the pen with hog paneling to hold it up, but they chew through that. Like if they get bored and they get up on the doghouse and they can rip it down, they rip it down. The sunshades, they do the sunshades the same way. So we've got to get something in place before we have our next litter. That's going to be a absolute must, is to have that done and have it operational. So we can raise the pups outside instead of in the basement and be able to go into some type of enclosure and spend some time with the pups and have heat in it if it's wintertime, have air in it. We've noticed the last two summers when it's been extremely hot, we've had a litter each summer. And I mean, the pups, they don't like it, man. They get very vocal. And we ended up putting, you know, a fan in there or some ice bags, cool them down, shut them up, and they're fine. So we want to be able to have climate control in that area. So we're going to work on that. But anyway, until next week, catch you guys on What's Up Wednesday.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.